Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
All right, welcome in, everybody, on this Sunday night to the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky, as promised. I was late this evening. I gave you a heads up, so that does not count as me being late. And as promised, I'm still bringing you an episode nonetheless. So appreciate you being here late on this Sunday night. Although I do think I want to workshop this idea with you guys. This is probably going to be more like the time moving forward, especially when we get closer to the fall. To be honest with you, my son's just getting older, and 8 o'clock is especially getting home at, 6:15, 6:30 after the radio show, and him starting essentially real school in the fall. It's just not as much time that I'm going to get to have with him during the day, and so I do think that we might be pushing these back an hour when the season begins. So I'll workshop that with you guys, and we'll talk about that later. But 8 o'clock's just getting a little too early now, and there's just not enough time for us to spend together, as a family. So I'm thinking that's probably what it's going to end up being in the fall. But anyway, I'm glad that you guys are here. And big day, right? We've got a lot to talk about. Number one, I don't know how you guys spent your day. It was actually a pretty great sports day if you have the same interests that I do. I was watching the Rocket Classic, which was, if you guys aren't familiar, it's a PGA Tour event. And it was kind of definitely after the last 2 weeks, you had the U.S. Open and then an elevated event, which all the big names play in. Kind of a dip below in terms of star power on the tour today. But I was locked in because Jackson Suber, the rookie on tour, the Ole Miss alum, had a really great week. And he finished T6, 20 under par. Actually, I mean, really missed a couple of chances today from the middle of the fairway, about 150 yards out, and just kind of misclubbed himself there. Could have taken or should have taken dead aim at a couple of pins and just did not have the right distance control. Both of them were out of the rough in fairness, but just kind of couldn't gauge that well. Missed a couple of short putts in there as well, and so really could have had an elite week, but still a great week for Suber. And that's his second top 10, I believe, of his PGA Tour career. So I was watching that today, and then we watched the soccer game, the USA soccer game, and that went to penalty kicks, and it was awesome. And he had no idea really what penalty kicks were, but actually it's kind of easy to understand. Hey, if we score here, we win, and stuff like that. And so that worked out. But, man, penalty kicks are just absolutely electric. So Team USA moves on to the semis of the Gold Cup. And so that was awesome. So a sneaky, pretty great sports day here in the Borky household. Hope you guys got to watch a little bit of that as well. But Ole Miss now quickly becoming a golf school right in front of your eyes. So I know that's not what you're here for, though. You're here to talk about Ole Miss football. More specifically, comments that Pete Golding had when asked about his defense in general, but specifically about his front six and what he thinks about them. We'll get to those after I invite you, please, to subscribe if you have not already. Search for the podcast wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And on YouTube, like or comment as well. I would love for you guys to, if you're watching after the fact or listening after the fact, still tell me what you think. And this edition is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. They're on Exit 40 in Brookhaven. ToyotaBrookhaven.com is the website. Tell them I sent you $1,000 off any in-stock new Toyota before anything else. Literally, they'll just take it off as long as you just mention my name. They have a great selection of new and used vehicles. They will take care of you like a person. They understand the car buying experience is not a fun one for most people. It's a stressful one at times. They will take care of you like a human being, like a person, instead of just somebody that they try to work one over on, because Toyota of Brookhaven, they will deliver for you. They also have a service department if you live in the area. Any make or model, they'll take care of you. 7 a.m., 7 p.m. So go ahead and check them out there. Toyota of Brookhaven, again, they will deliver. So I can't play the video for you because as I learned after the last episode, I just can't play videos for you guys anymore without getting a copyright strike. So no more fun highlights for this, because God forbid. So I didn't want to, even though it came from Ole Miss and I don't think they copyright strike their stuff, I'm just going to play it safe and play you the audio that I recorded on my phone, because I can't play the video for you, since I got copyright strikes for literally every highlight that I played for you guys last week, all of them. And my channel's not like in danger or whatever, but yeah. So no more highlights for you guys. So here's how it's going to have to be. But this, if you guys have not watched it, you need to. It's the Fireside Chat, which is something that Chris Beard has done in the past, and he brought it to Ole Miss. It's he and Pete Golding with a unlit fire pit in front of them, sitting in the courthouse lawn on the square, and it's outstanding. You come away impressed with both of them. It's very easy to see how, like, why Chris Beard is successful. And what I love, you guys know me, I overemphasize the importance of fans. It's just something that I talk about a lot. I'm passionate about. I think you guys are getting left behind. I'm very excited to talk to Greg Sankey and ask him first at SEC Media Days, not about collective bargaining or NIL, but about fans. And are you guys concerned about losing fans? And what are you doing to fix it with fans? Stuff like that. Chris Beard constantly talks about you guys, and that it's just a great thing. And it's especially at a place like Ole Miss, where you're trying to build basketball loyalty to make the fans feel important, is a really big thing. And that will pay dividends with atmospheres in basketball. So anyway, I'm always impressed with these conversations with him. And then I came away really impressed with Pete Golding. He talks and sounds and feels and now looks like a head coach was kind of my thought the entire time watching that. But more importantly, it's this audio cut. It's 2 minutes. I'm going to stare at you guys for 2 minutes. But Chris Beard asked Pete Golding about his defense. And, you know, you lost a lot to the draft, but what do you got coming back? Pretty detailed answer you get right here. And we'll talk about it after it's over.
We pressure the ball defense. I'm
a very pressure the ball defensive guy.
I like it.
Yeah.
Speaking of defense, give us the first look here.
Yeah.
Directly to the Ole Miss students. Congratulations on last year's defense.
Yep.
Fun to watch. It'll be an understatement.
Yeah.
But you got what, 5 or 6 guys get drafted.
Yeah.
Several more.
That's right.
Free agents.
Yep.
What do we have to look forward to here in 68 days?
You know what? I mean, I think obviously a lot of that was from the front six, you know, and the TFLs they created on base downs to get guys an obvious passing down. So what I'm most excited about is I don't think we're going to fall down, you know, from where we were from the front six standpoint. I think we got a really talented group. Most of that group, 90% of that group was already in that room, so they know the expectations. They have a really good foundation of what we're going to ask them to do and why we're going to ask them to do it. I think we've added 2 elite edge players to it. That'll help, obviously, to be able to create some negative yards plays and pressure the quarterback. But, you know, I think the green dot's back in Dottery, the Mike, he kind of makes us tick. I think, you know, inside, everybody listen, you know, we lost 3 inside guys to the draft. You know, we didn't replace it with 1 portal guy, you know, because over the last 2 seasons from a recruiting standpoint, I think we've hit on those guys inside. All 4 of them are Mississippi kids that they've been here. They've been in the system. So I'm really excited about the front six. You know, in the back end, we have 9 guys in the back end that didn't go through spring ball. And so we're with them this summer, obviously, now that the rules have changed. So I think a big piece of the success will be this summer, getting the continuity together and making sure those guys understand what we're going to ask them to do from a coaching aspect. We got to do a good job understanding what they can do, right, and build the package around that instead of just trying to plug them into something that we did last year with different people. So right now it's still an experiment, but I love the talent. I think it's a really good combination of year 1 and year 2. I think year 1, we had a lot of grit. We played with a lot of toughness. Weren't always the most talented team. And then last year, I think it was a pretty good combination. But I like this. This team's got a lot of grit and a lot of toughness. And they got a high football IQ. I think they want to compete. And then we got some talent that came back. So I think it could be exciting here.
See, another reason I respect.
So, does phone audio dodge copyrights? The first question. Apparently, yes. So, we're going to see. I looked it up, and apparently that will work. So, hopefully it does. Anyway, I know that audio sucked, but it's just I would rather play you something than just tell you what he said. And hopefully I'll be able to better work around that or maybe just do these recorded. I don't know. Anyway, point being, that can be taken one of two ways. And I'm fascinated at which one is the truth, right? Number one is you could be a cynic, and that's usually what I am, and just dismiss it as, well, of course a coach is going to say that about his team, right? Of course he is. And, you know, that's fair. You would be right. But also, there's a couple of things that make me believe it's the alternative, that he actually expects them to be pretty good on the defensive line. And it's because of what he said about the secondary, which was not the same thing. When he talked about the back end of the defense, it was very different than when he talked about the front six. But also because you're hearing that from people like around the program. I talked to somebody that I think would know these kind of things. And yeah, they echo the sentiment that they really expect. There's no Walter Nolan in that room, but that they really expect to be quite good to elite still on the defensive line. And he made reference to it. You remember 2 years ago, 2023, the high end talent was lacking on that defensive line some. But it was highly, highly productive. They really produced sacks and TFLs 2 years ago. Last year, of course, they were the best in the country at it. But when you look at this defensive line, this is the first time I think that you've been able to say it this way since I have lived in Mississippi, is the Ole Miss defensive line room lost four starters. And they are being replaced by exclusively blue chip players. This is what, on the defensive line only, I'm not talking about other positions. We'll have to see about the secondary and offensive line and other things, right? But when it comes to the defensive line in particular, Ole Miss looks like Georgia. Ole Miss looks like Ohio State. Ole Miss looks like Texas, right? They lost all these guys and they replaced them with exclusively blue chip prospects. Every name listed on, and of course, depth charts are so this time of year just kind of goofy, but from what you expect to be guys that will contribute heavily to the defensive line, every single one of them that they expect to play big snaps is a blue chip prospect. And so even though they're guys that didn't play a metric ton of snaps a year ago, it's 4 or 5 star here, 4 or 5 star there, 4 star out of the portal, 4 or 5 star there. 4 or 5 star there, 4 star out of the portal. That is what they have become on the defensive line. And so, of course, they have to, they have to prove it, right? They have to show it on the field. They have to become the guys that the recruiting analysts said that they were, and that they don't always bat 1,000. But when you hear the defensive coordinator say, hey, there's a reason on the interior didn't go try to get anybody out of the portal. There are some good defensive linemen in the portal that they could have gone after that certainly could have helped them, and they chose not to. Why did they choose not to? Because they think that they have got it covered. And it's just an example of when you can recruit at an elite level for multiple years in high school, what a position group can become, to where when you lose four starters, you're not stress about, oh, what the hell are we going to do here? Because God knows who's going to play defensive line for this team. Kind of like what you're having to do in the secondary. Not a single person that would know or that just kind of understands what Ole Miss has on the interior or on the defensive line up front is overly concerned about their ability to continue to be productive. Are they going to be the best defensive front in college football? Probably not. Are they still going to be one that's going to be feared by most people? On paper, it looks like they can be. And listening to their defensive coordinator, it tells you that he thinks that they're going to be. Really liked what you heard about his thoughts on Dottery. When we did our most important players thing a few weeks ago, he was on my list because, you lose an All-American. But as Pete said, he's the green dot guy. So they have their returning leader on defense, but the secondary still, of course, going to be a concern. I mean, he didn't even sugarcoat it there. I mean, you heard our interview with Austin Simmons that we did and played for you guys on here, that you've been given no reason to expect big things out of the defensive secondary until you actually see them on the field doing so. There's a reason that they were so heavy in the spring portal, trying to figure out the back end of their defense. They added so many new guys for a reason. It was a position of serious concern. They couldn't even sugarcoat it. There's no way of knowing how good they're going to be. There's no way of knowing really who's going to even freaking play at defensive back right now. I mean, your guess is as good as mine, and your guess is as good as anybody else's guess, and that's all it really is right now. They've got a couple of months to figure it out, but it is pretty clear that there's some concern there. Front six, though, will they be just as good as they were in 2024? Maybe not. But, man, hearing what you hear about them up front is very encouraging, considering what the losses were a year ago. I think that is the position group that I'm the quote-unquote third most confident in. Wide receiver is my number one. I think they're going to be elite at wide receiver or close to it. Tight end, I think that they have a really high-level tight end room with multiple all-SEC guys in the room. And then defensive line, I think, is my third. And a lot more known about tight end and even a lot more known about wide receiver, even though they, two of them that are going to start didn't play at Ole Miss. But those are the three position groups that I'm most confident in being productive for Ole Miss this year. So we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. ABSMS.com is the website. If you are a Mississippi business and you need office technology, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems, whatever it is, if it's tech, if it's in the office and your Mississippi business needs it, check them out online at ABSMS.com. Tell them I sent you, get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com. It's also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because Priority One Bank, they make you their priority. Again, bank with me at Priority One Bank. So, good stuff as always. Thanks, Steve. You said that right as we started. So, this could have been the worst podcast ever, and you were still gassing me up. So, for that, man, I thank you. No, I appreciate you, man. Actually, prefer 9 over 8. Tend to be more wrapped up in things around 8. That's what I'll end up doing, to be honest with you, because I mean, just because we're going to big boy school now is what we're doing, and that starts actually in about a month. I think it's 5 weeks away, and as a result, we're just. He's there a lot longer during the day, and I'm just going to see less of him, and it's going to break my heart. I'm going to be a nervous wreck. But as a result, I think it just makes more sense instead of when I get home just to rush, like we have to rush here to get him to bed and get everything situated so, you know, we can go about our night and do stuff like this, and he can sleep. That's what I mean by we go about our night. He sleeps, and then I do this with you guys. It just doesn't make sense. So we'll start that changeover next month is what I'm thinking. So appreciate the live. Hey, Craig, congratulations on your twins, man. So excited for you. I can't wait to meet them. Most of the audience is probably college age in their 20s or 30s. So you can stream at midnight. We're good. Hey man, late night post games are the best ones. So earlier on Twitter, you saw a video from the Georgia game of all four Ole Miss defensive linemen winning immediately up front. Xavier Harris was the one who whipped Tate Rutledge. Yeah, man, Xavier Harris is, I think, going into this season, one of the most underrated players in the SEC. Nobody at Media Days here in a few weeks is going to be talking about him. Nobody. And that will be a mistake. And I almost think that they should... I'm saying they should bring him just so he can walk around and people be like, "Well, who the hell is that guy? Wait, that guy's a defensive lineman? Yeah. for what it's worth, I think it'll be Simmons, Caden Lee, and Centarian Perkins. But that would be who I would bring. But anyway, Xavien Harris is not going to be talked about much. And a few weeks into the season, people are going to be wondering why not. So it's clear they've done a good job at both recruiting and developing the defensive front. So far under Golding, saw immediate improvement in 23, and last year was the best defensive line in school history. Absolutely. Copyright is a – yes, it is. And, man, does it happen right away, too. So D-line under Golding and his staff should be fine. Interested to see how they use Perkins at the jack position. Yeah, and I mean, it worked out for Will Anderson, right? Alabama fans who really just know defense more than Nick Saban and Pete Golding do, for sure. I wouldn't be surprised if it's going to be a very similar type usage. I don't think – maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong before. I will be again. But I don't foresee it'll be just line up and go get the quarterback every snap. If he wants to play at the next level, that can't be what he does, because he can't do that at the next level. He's going to have to do some other things. And so if they are, in fact, doing that with him, because they, according to Golding himself, that they ported a couple of elite talents on the edges anyway, with Cam Franklin also returning. Yeah, you got to ask him to do some other stuff. That's what's best for him. Golding just looks so comfortable in Oxford and at Ole Miss. Yeah, for sure. Beard is so awesome. It's amazing the progress he's making, both of the program and the community connection. Quite simply, he's the best coach on campus. And, you know, it takes effort, right? Like, you have to try. You have to be intentional. But do you know how easy it is for people to make it about the fans, and then how massive the return on that investment is? Obviously, the winning is the most important thing, but engaging your people makes the salary increase that he got so agreeable, right? It's like when you engage the fans, it's so much easier to ask them for more. You know what I mean? Hey, come to more games. Tickets cost more, whatever it is. Need more for NIL. If you make those people feel important, they're far more willing to open their checkbook. And it's something that bothered me in the past. He doesn't really do it anymore, but the past about Lane Kiffin is you're asking all these people to give you millions of dollars for your football team, and then you're going to complain about them. Yeah, he doesn't do that anymore. At least I haven't seen it in quite some time, but that bothered me so much about Kiffin. There were times this year that you could tell that Chris Beard was disappointed post-game with the crowds that they got at their games. But instead of complaining about them, he was very intentional about thanking the ones that showed. You know what I mean? That difference in approach will pay dividends for him and his time at Ole Miss and Ole Miss basketball in general. Here's an exercise. Go through the Ole Miss schedule, and based on what we know so far, what teams does this defensive line have a clear advantage over? All right, let's do it. SEC helmet schedule, which, by the way, if you guys don't have that bookmarked, like I don't, you need to, but I just get right to it. Advantage over Georgia State, Kentucky, Arkansas, Tulane, LSU. I mean, it should be LSU considering what they lost, but I would like to see what LSU looks like in week one against Clemson. Washington State, Oklahoma, South Carolina, I mean, all but one for sure. Could be more, but knowing what we know now, and in the portal era, it's just so hard to know what all these other teams look like. But yeah, I mean, the on paper talent is better than that of everybody that they will face but Georgia. And even then, you can make the case. It's nothing but blue chips, 4- and 5-star prospects, every single one of them. In terms of being a program that can sustain and consistently win the most games, having a dominant defensive front can do that. It's about putting other pieces together to achieve higher, especially when you look at like the secondary. You can mask a defensive backfield that's a little bit lacking if you're elite up front. So if Ole Miss beats LSU, it probably meant the defensive line played a huge part and had a better game than last year. Yeah. They might have to anchor the team early against Kentucky when the offense gets its feet wet. Now, that game in particular, I have a feeling, and again, there's no way of knowing, but I have a feeling that game's going to be like 26-14, something like that, just kind of ugly, right? And Simmons' first road start. I mean, you know Kentucky's going to have some dudes on defense that can present challenges, and I don't know. I don't even know why. Like, in my head, I'm like, it's going to be raining. I don't know why I think that, but anyway. The next Ole Miss team championship will be won by men's golf. it'll be men's golf. It'll be Malloy's program that's next. But if you're talking the marquee sports, it's men's basketball. That will be the next championship team at Ole Miss. Speaking of Kentucky, just secured tickets for that today. Lexington's great. Lexington's great. Yes, Pat, I need to respond to your message there, absolutely, because, we're not too terribly far from another year of suffering through Pelicans basketball. It'll be great. Take the Kentucky game, for example. It's not a preview or prediction, but they're trotting out Zach Calzada, who Ole Miss dominated in 21 with a shaky O-line and no Dane Key or Barry and Brown. Oklahoma game could be the most interesting in how the secondary and defensive front combat John Mateer and their retooled offense. I think Oklahoma is the most fascinating team in the SEC this year. I really do. Especially with Venables taking over play calling duties. And I know that's like everybody's favorite offseason storyline is now they're going to be good because the coach took play calling duties back. But that's what Venables knows, and that's what he's good at, and he's really good at it. Get out of the way, let a good OC do that thing, and you just run a defense, and I don't know. As great as the defense was last year, still wasn't as good as 2014. Man, that 24 defense was so good. So good. Isn't the game a little bit different now, though? Because 2014's defense did not have, let's see, 2014 Ole Miss depth chart. Gosh, that Boise State game was, I mean, there's nobody there because it was a Thursday night in Atlanta, and one of the teams was Boise State. Fadal Brown, Channing Ward spent time in the NFL. Robert Kimdichie on the interior. Woody Hamilton, Byron Bennett, and Isaac Gross on the interior. Man, that is just bringing up memories. CJ Johnson and Marquise Haynes on the edge. My gosh, what a good defensive line that was. That's a really good one. Bunch of NFL guys in that group. Sir'Darrius Bryant, Bird Bryant at linebacker. He was, if that's before your time, Sir'Darrius Bryant, what was he, 5 foot nothing? He's one of those players that will never get the the love in the same way other guys will, and I understand why. But he was just a beast and just a really good football player and a lot of fun to watch. I'm having a hard time. 5'8", 5'8", 216, and he spent a little bit of time. He spent 1 year in Hamilton for the Tiger Cats, played indoor football. That Hamilton team, he was on the practice squad for the Grey Cup champion. Look at him. But second team All-SEC guy, he was just a joy to watch. DT Shackelford, Christian Russell on the inside defense. Or God, I can't talk tonight. inside linebackers with DeMarcus Gates, who was another one of those guys that was on bad teams that doesn't get any credit for being as good as he was. Tony Connor, Mike Hilton, and A.J. Moore at nickel. Both of those guys. Awesome. Mike Hilton, I think, is pound for pound. Here's a take for you. Mike Hilton is pound for pound, the best football player ever at Ole Miss. Pound for pound. Okay? So you got – I've learned our radio audience doesn't actually listen sometimes, because if I were to say something like that, it wouldn't get taken the right way. At his size, to do what he did and to still be in the NFL the way that he is remarkable. Mike Hilton was awesome. I don't think he ever made a mistake, ever. Senquez and Ken Webster, who's a really good player before injury, at corner. Cody Pruitt, Trey Elston at safety. Gosh. C.J. Moore, the other Moore twin, was a third stringer on that defense. Yeah. God, that defense was so good. That offense was fun, too. I mean, Evan Engram was there. Cody Core, Adebojo was a backup there. Vince Sanders was really good, and then he got – unfortunately, he got hurt. Itavius Mathers, Jordan Wilkins also. I'm just naming names, but, gosh, those teams – it's a shame that the Freeze era ended the way it did, because those teams are really fun to think back and look on. I mean, listen to these names. Treadwell, Laramie Tunsil. Justin Bell is a guy I really liked personally. I don't know if you guys know much about him, but he was a really, really, really nice dude. Evan Engram, who's been awesome in the NFL. I mean, this trio of wide receivers, Cody Core, Vince Sanders, and Treadwell paired with Evan Engram, that's just awesome. Jalen Walton was fun. Wilkins was a really good running back. All the guys on defense I named. That was, man, that was a fun, really fun football team. And, I mean, the Treadwell injury kind of did what it did in 2014. And then discipline issues showed up around the Peach Bowl in 2014. Maybe that was the example of, okay, this is going to fall apart soon. After that game, and then sure enough, though, they come back in 15 and play really well and were a good team, and then the bottom fell out. And weird offseason, weird news cycles with the NCAA, blew a couple of big leads early in 16, and that was it. 13, 14, and 15, though, those were fun years. When you ignored the cloud of the NCAA above it. Kentucky game has 27-16 written all over it. Yeah. Kiffin going for blood against Kentucky and Florida. He needs to. Appreciate you, Zach. Glad you're here, man. Marquise Haynes was an animal as a freshman. He was. Tony Connor pre-injury. That's another guy that he'd still be playing in the NFL without that. Dom to the Sip. Yeah, that was a nice pickup. They've done a nice job in this portal class, for sure. I'm more curious, like in the field, I'm more curious about the guys that they have coming back, though, to be honest with you. I don't know what you do, though. I mean, I guess you got to – you have to – put Federico in the field, I think. Ideally, I know I'm hyper-focused on one bad weekend, but it would be great if Furness could DH, but I don't know if you can do that. You know, the draft's got to be good to him, but you can move Udermark back to a more natural position defensively as well. They have a lot coming back. But they've done a really nice job pitching as well. Mike Hilton exemplifies football IQ. I mean, I'm sure he did. I'm sure coaches could watch film and tell you that he made mistakes. I don't know if that, like, I don't know if I'd believe him, though. That dude, he never made mistakes on a football field. And he always, always was making tackles, too. Like, there's guys that get themselves in good positions and can't make plays. He would get himself in a perfect position and make the play every time. I mean, just what a joy to watch play football he was. Same thing with Senquez. You mentioned this. Also insane how good Senquez was for being small. Yeah. I mean, you had Mike Hilton. You had Bird Bryant, Mike Hilton, Bert Bryant, Mike Hilton, and Cinquez Golson all in the same defense. Like, just these little dudes. Isaac Gross was on that defense, too, now that I'm looking at this depth chart. I know I said his name earlier, but you just had a bunch of little dudes out there that just knew how to play the game, man. Got an awesome pic of Cody Pruitt holding his ex-wife's purse at the library. Also, Justin Bell's an amazing person. Yeah, I've really enjoyed the little bit of time that I got to spend with Justin Bell. So, Freeze still never maximized the program. Nope. No, he did not. 2016 Ole Miss were kings of the first half. Not so much in the second half. One of the better 5-7 teams in history. Yeah. What's my podcast setup? Here at home, it's nothing. I mean, I literally have a crappy webcam that I bought on Amazon, and this is like a 10, 12-year-old USB mic. And so I have a little adapter that can have multiple USBs. So microphone plugs in there. I forgot to turn my light on. But microphone plugs in there. Webcam plugs in there, and that's it. I mean, I just I'm not going to spend a lot of money on home studio setup, to be honest with you. I don't have a lot to spend to begin with. And I mean, as long as the sound is fine, you guys aren't going to punish me for it not being perfect. I mean, we've got an incredible studio in the office for the radio show, which I could do all of these there, but obviously I'm not going to with my son. So it's very simple, very basic. The more this grows, if it does, the more I'll be able to invest in it, but not too much. I don't find the value in it. At least not for me and what it would do for me financially. So was at the Ole Miss-Tennessee game in 2014. While that Tennessee team was not good, Ole Miss absolutely bludgeoned them. That was just a murder on the field. Been looking at a lot of the Freeze era recently in offseason boredom. Man, it's complicated, but he really left the program in ruins. Then the administration botched it even further. And it wasn't just the football team that was left in ruins. It was the everything surrounding Ole Miss football was a joke. It all became a joke. It wasn't just the wheels fell off and couldn't win games and left. It was an embarrassment. And it took years for them to pull themselves out of it. And without Lane Kiffin, what are we talking about today? I mean, instead of Matt Luke, Ross Bjork had, as you guys know this, Dave Doran was hired. I mean, that had everything figured out. The plane flight was ready, and then the chancellor that was trying to save his job and curry favor with the locals made a boneheaded decision and ended up working out, I guess, for the better, but not in the way that he thought it would. And that was a very embarrassing is the right word. That was a very embarrassing time for Ole Miss football. Freeze maximizes getting fired this year. I think it's going to happen. I do. Everything's just weird with him. So unnecessary. All of it is so unnecessary. Like not letting Jackson Arnold go to the Manning Passing Academy because he can't miss the time with his teammates. Austin Simmons is there. Arch Manning is there. Every one of these guys is there, but you wouldn't let yours, and it's like this weird publicity thing, and you tried to spin it as he can't miss the time with his teammates. Then he better not go on a single beach trip this summer. It's just weird, like totally unnecessary, just miscalculation. Let your quarterback go to the Manning Passing Academy. They all go. They all learn a lot. It's a very good thing. It's a very important thing. And you didn't let yours go there. Why not? It's just dumb. Same thing with this, the handicap thing. With him playing 20 rounds of golf in a month. It's like all these coaches go on vacation. Every single one of them. Kiffin vacations. He's fishing at Pete Golding's fishing. Kirby Smart plays a lot of golf. But why are you posting your scores on the handicap? Like, why are you publicly posting your golf scores? Why? Why are you telling everybody, hey, I played golf 20 times this month? Why do you do that? There is no reason. You're not a good enough player that keeping your handicap really matters anyway. It's just, why did you feel that? Like, you don't have to do that. And so when you post scores in the handicap system, it's publicly accessible for anybody. So now everybody knows that while your recruiting class is in shambles and you've really underachieved at Auburn, like really underachieved relative to what they expect from you, you're playing golf 20 times. But not only are you playing golf 20 times, you're telling everybody that you're playing golf 20 times. That's the problem. It's not that you're doing it. It's that you're telling everybody you're doing it. And it's like when they had the Music City Bowl and they lost to Maryland, it's, well, we didn't game plan because we were recruiting. Does Mike Loxley not recruit? Mike Loxley recruited. Why didn't you? Ole Miss was able to prepare for the Peach Bowl and also recruit. Kirby Smart recruited. Everything around Hugh Freeze, it's just unnecessary. It's just unnecessary. DeMarcus Gates, also a fantastic player. Absolutely. Yeah. If he loses to Baylor, it's over. Yes. Rebel Report merch. Let's grow it, Borky. None of y'all want Rebel Report merch. Haydad and I are pushing to try to get some merch for the radio show, though. I think we might be able to pull that off. Freeze hasn't come close to his 2012 coaching job. That was legitimately amazing, but only worse since. Absolutely. Thanks for answering. Been working on planning a podcast around Ole Miss similar to yours. Feel like there aren't enough. Respect to you for fitting it in and giving us content. Takes a lot. It does. Don't focus on investing a lot of money first. That would be my advice to you, is you don't need to buy all kinds of extravagant crap. Get a microphone that plugs into USB port on your computer and just start talking. And I would tell you, don't publish it anywhere right away. Start talking. And 5-10 minutes at a time, and just feel it out. And, you know, write a couple things out that you know you want to talk about and record yourself and then listen back. And then record yourself and listen back. Find your own voice. Don't try to copy anybody. Just be you. I did that early on. I tried to copy Matt and Richard on head-to-head. Still, sometimes I find myself with habits of theirs, and I don't like that. Not that they're not good. I mean, Richard's a pro. He's a pro's pro. Now, I mean, he's moved on to politics, but he's excellent. So, you know, picking up his habits is not a bad thing, but find your voice wherever it is, and the only way you're going to find it is by practicing. It's the only way. And you're going to hate the sound of your own voice, and you're going to hate the things you say even 8 years into it. Because I still will listen back to the radio show and think, God, what was I talking about? So definitely still searches his own name on Twitter when Bo Wallace came on with Neil and Chase after Auburn lost to Cal. That was legendary. Gosh, that was nuts. People don't even realize just how bad the bottom fell out in 2016. It really is. A lot of people have said it, but it bears repeating. It's a shame he didn't have to coach in 2017. Because all of the people, and there's a lot of them, we got it when Liberty came back to Ole Miss. We got it a lot. Or when Lane was expected to take the Auburn job. Ole Miss fans that listen to the radio show would text in, I want Hugh Freeze back. I mean, there are those people out there. There are the people that still, like, think that would be okay. Nobody would think that if he had to coach 2017. They would have been pathetic. They would have been pathetic. And everybody would have seen just how bad it got. Instead, Matt Luke did a great job with that team, by the way. Really did. Instead, he kind of held things together emotionally, and they ended up playing hard. They would have been pathetic, and that has shaped or clouded people from how bad it really got internally. Online shop, you don't pay for anything. That's what we're working on. So, suggestions, 2000s Ole Miss Football Rewatch podcast series to lead into the season. I think that the amount of stuff that I'm going to get at Media Days is really going to tide us over until camp begins. So, Ole Miss could have just hired Kiffin in 2017. Here's the thing about that, though. Ole Miss was not in position at the time to keep a guy like Lane Kiffin around for 6 years plus, like they're going to this time. The timing of how all of that worked out was best, I think. So, anyway, I got to run, guys. It's late. I appreciate you. This will be the new time. We'll start that, though. 1st of August is when we'll start that. So in the meantime, we're just going to stick with 8 until 1st of August. But I appreciate you guys being here, even though we were late tonight. And I will see you on Tuesday. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.